This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio is celebrating that the United Nations has named the old Spanish missions to be a World Heritage Site. This comes after years of talks with the UN agency, and it is a first for Texas. The missions become the 23rd World Heritage Site in the U.S., and there are more than 1,000 worldwide. They include the pyramids, Pompeii, Machu Picchu, Stonehenge, and Taj Mahal. Now add the San Antonio missions to that impressive list. So what's next? What should we expect, and how do we make the most of this development? What do you think about this designation for the missions? Give us a call. Do you live in that area? Are you concerned what this could mean for the development there or the character of your neighborhood? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org or tweet us at @tprsource. With us this half hour, we're joined by Father David Garcia, Archdiocesan Director of the Old Spanish Missions, Sarah Gould at the Institute of Texan Cultures, and William DuPont, a professor at UTSA College of Architecture, specializing in historic preservation, and he knows a lot about the missions. Welcome to The Source, all y'all.
Thank you.
So, Father David, let me ask you, what's your take? What do you think?
Well, first of all, it's an exciting moment for San Antonio, and I think this is the culmination of a lot of work by a lot of people. And it really kind of shows how when our community really puts its mind to something like this, this was a huge project that lasted many years, almost 10 years in the making, that we can do something like this. It involved public entities, private entities, individuals. It just involved a lot of hard work, and I think we should be very proud that we reached this point.
And so, William DuPont, what do you think about these developments?
I think in the decades to come, we're going to look back on this moment as a watershed in San Antonio's history, much like the 1968 Hemisphere event. This is going to redefine our city as we know it potentially and increase prosperity for our residents in a really positive way.
Sarah Gould, I know over at the Institute of Texan Culture, you're working on a exhibit soon about the founding of San Antonio. So you've been looking at the missions as a big part of the vision of San Antonio, the long arc. So what's your take on this designation?
I'm very excited because I think this is a wonderful opportunity for us to think about how Mestizo contributed to the history of Texas. So what we have at the missions is we have, of course, the Spanish coming in, working with indigenous people, creating a new culture. We see in the physical buildings at the missions, we see Spanish architectural ideas combined with indigenous labor. Their hands built those structures, and they're created together a new culture that would become the foundations of the American Southwest.
So, Father David, there's still mass being held at the missions, not at the Alamo, but at the other missions.
Absolutely.
These are active parishes, and many of the parishioners are family members who their ancestors were the ones that constructed the missions. How do you think they feel about this?
I think everybody's very excited. I'm in charge, and I'm the priest at Mission Concepcion. And we have mass every Sunday, 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock. And yesterday we were with packed house, both masses. And it was just wonderful because people were very excited about designation. When I announced it officially, most people had heard about it, but everybody erupted in applause. And we had thought this was going to come. We were hoping it was going to come. And I think the people of the four parishes are very excited about it. Now, of course, there's also questions. Does this mean that there's going to be a lot more development in the area? Are we, are there going to be new buildings in the area? What's going to happen? We're going to have a lot more people, et cetera. So there's a lot of questions that people have. But on the whole, I think there's a really welcoming attitude in the four parishes of the missions. People who have been there for years, like you say, some of them the descendants of the ones that built the missions, and they're very, very proud of that, and they still live in the neighborhoods. And so this is a very meaningful development for all of them.
And so, William DuPont, do you know if resources come with this designation?
Well, when you say resources, are you referring to
money?
Thanks for clarifying that point. No, not specifically. What comes with this designation is an opportunity to increase the prosperity of San Antonio, and I think especially the residents in the zones that are affected by this, in South San Antonio, in the Mission's Historic District. I think this is going to open up entrepreneurial opportunities, and we have to be very thoughtful and attentive to what those opportunities are, because it's critical that the people that live there are not displaced by these economic opportunities that are going to follow. There's been a huge investment that the county and the city have made and the River Authority in the whole Mission reach of the river. And it's wonderful now. It's a beautiful place. So for anyone who hasn't been there, it's a great thing to go see and enjoy. The portals are opened to the missions. And all of this was done in anticipation of the World Heritage opportunity. So now the focus of the city and the county needs to be on assuring that the people who are there, because they're critical to the authenticity of the place, are not displaced by these development opportunities.
So, Sarah, is that your concern, that there's going to be now a whole lot of T-shirt shops and Ripley, believe it or not, is going to pop up on Roosevelt or something? It's going to ruin the ambiance of the neighborhood.
Well, we hear that complaint a lot about the Alamo and that touristy development outside, or literally across the street from what remains of Mission San Antonio de Valero, which is we now call the Alamo. The National Park Service was able to get a buffer zone around the southern four missions so that their property has expanded, which will prevent that sort of development from encroaching upon Mission San Jose, Concepcion, Espada, and San Juan. There's really no way to do that, at least at this moment, with the Alamo. I think that Bill raises a really good point. The way that we've created this buffer zone to maintain the authenticity of the site for the missions, will we, in fact, try to create some kind of similar thing for the communities that live there? I don't know if that would mean some kind of special tax zone for them. I don't know what it would mean. But if we're trying to protect the sites, let's also try to protect the people.
Because this is one of the most interesting neighborhoods in San Antonio. I mean, Father David, don't you think so?
I think so, but I think it's also inevitable that if you look at the way the city is growing from downtown out, it has moved north, obviously, towards the Pearl, lots and lots of development there. Now we're looking at some definite movement south. We're beyond Southtown already, moving down Probant. You can tell. You can see the apartments are coming up. You can see people coming in. There's going to be 200 apartments behind Concepcion that have already been approved on the old property of St. John's Seminary. That's immediately behind the mission. There's 400 down the road on Mission Road at the trailer, the former trailer park.
The Mission Trails.
Yeah, you're already looking at housing coming into the area. And then they announced Lone Star is supposed to be developed. I think if Lone Star has any kind of an impact like Pearl is having, you're going to see a lot more development of housing on the south side. So what Bill is saying is really important. That is, how will that be managed so that those people who have lived there for generations can be respected, the integrity of their neighborhoods also respected, and at the same time, welcome development, which will inevitably be coming. So there's going to be a wonderful balance that we're going to, I think, all be working on for the next number of years.
Right, so the neighborhood, the people there are going to have to be part of this conversation, and they have an opportunity right now. Call in. We'll get to the phone calls when we come from this break. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. Back in 1 minute. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about this incredible development for San Antonio, UN naming the old Spanish missions as a World Heritage Site. This comes with a lot of excitement, and people are throwing confetti, and they're excited, but what happens next? We open the phones to hear what you have to say. The number is 210-614-8980. With me in the studio, I've got Father David Garcia. He is the Archdiocesan Director at the Old Spanish Missions, Sarah Gould at the Institute of Texan Cultures, and William DuPont, a professor in the UTSA College of Architecture. So let's get to some of these callers. Armando Cortez has called in. He is the president of the Mission San Jose Neighborhood Association. And Armando, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone in San Antonio. Thank you, Father. Thank you, everybody that's been involved to make this site a World Heritage Site. I think it's been a World Heritage Site for us for a long time already. We felt it. We love it. And I know that a lot of our community members feel that way. And we're going to be meeting tomorrow at the Mission Library at 6 o'clock, and everybody's invited. We're going to have a little potluck food to celebrate, but we're going to be discussing some very important issues that includes gentrification, that includes issues of zoning. And we know that communication with our government leaders is very, very important. We'll have a council representative. And the bottom line for us is that we want to also preserve the way of life. We want to also make sure that our people don't get pushed out. And I think it's possible, but of course it's going to take some serious sitting down, planning, and working with community. It can't just be a top-down approach where we're come and told what to do and how it's going to happen. It's got to be somewhere where we can sit at a table and have a broad understanding. But we also understand that economic development's coming, and it's going to be a positive one because we do need more mixed income. We do need more jobs. We do need it to be and reflect what a World Heritage Site needs to be, and that includes preserving the green space we have. So I wanted to share that with y'all and get some feedback, and hopefully we'll see y'all
okay.
here in our community.
Armando, thank you so much for calling and appreciate that. And Sarah, did you want to address those issues?
Oh, no. I think that's wonderful that they're having that meeting, and he's absolutely right. We don't want a top-down approach. We want to make sure that the community has a say in what's happening in their neighborhood, a neighborhood that they're very proud of, and they should be.
Okay. Antonio has called in. Let's get him on the air. Antonio, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Yes, I was a part of the committee that first met with the proposal with the original six that we as indigenous people requested to be a part of that because of the way that we were being portrayed as savages and as beggars in our own land. This is due to Spanish colonialism. And now this designation by UNESCO declares that the five missions are the jewel of Spanish colonization of our area. So again, This is a problem. You're talking about gentrification. This is where gentrification first started, where we lost our identity and our land rights. And so to be promoted worldwide now, globally, that this is where the Spaniards came and took our land and took our identity, and we are just silently, or we are throwing confetti in the air over this. We met with this original six member group, Paul and Susan Snow and the rest, to let them know that what the information they had been going by to put the proposal together was from the 1890s and the 1920s, where it was very racially biased against indigenous people.
Sure. Antonio, let me ask you a question, though. I mean, is this an opportunity for you to use this as a stage to tell the story and maybe get things right that maybe haven't been told properly before?
Yes, it is, if doors are open. But you have Father Garcia there, who we have approached and tried to get meetings with and have not been successful at it, because he says he's only over Mission Concepcion, yet he is not. He is over the five missions.
Okay, so let me give him a chance to respond to that, Antonio. Thank you for your call. So, Father David, obviously, you're now in the hot seat. Sorry about that.
Well, no, I appreciate that, because obviously the respect for the indigenous people has been very, very high. And as far as I know, I haven't received a direct request. However, what we've tried to do is each one of the missions has a pastor, and the indigenous community that is around that mission has related to that pastor. So, for example, a couple of years ago, we had an issue of the reburial of indigenous people's remains that we found when we were trying to stabilize San Juan Capistrano. And so there was a lot of questions about how we will handle these remains, and we wanted to be very sensitive about that. And the best person that knew that area was the local pastor, Father Jim Galvin. And so he met with them on a regular basis and had a long process in which finally the remains were reburied with Native American rituals as well as Catholic rituals. So I thought it was, and I had leaders from the Native American community come saying, thank you for this, because back in the 90s, there was a lot of fighting about the remains and how are these respected and not, and they're not supposed to just be shelved and all those kinds of things, you know. And so what we did this time was to try to be as sensitive as we could. And what I heard, the feedback I heard, was very positive. Now, obviously, we can always improve our communication, and we're ready to do that at any time.
All right. So let me ask you, William DuPont, over at professor at UTSA College of Architecture, what is the status of the preservation of the missions? Are they really ready to stand up another 300 years?
The missions are in good shape. The National Park Service has done a great job with the things that they control. The Catholic Archdiocese has been fabulous, and Father David has spearheaded the effort to raise all the money that's been necessary for that. So things are in good shape. We're ready for the visitation that's going to come. I think what's important here, though, is to remember that this isn't just about the buildings. This nomination is about the continuity of people in San Antonio. And the buildings are important, yes, because they're the tangible remnants of what was built. And through them, we can better understand our own heritage. But it's about the people, really. That's what the outstanding universal value of this nomination has at its core. And that's where the authenticity and the integrity that people speak about, that's where it really lies.
Let's go back to the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980 and get Steve on the air. Hey, Steve, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
How are you doing?
Doing good, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Hello.
Yes, Steve, you're on the air.
Okay, cool. Hey, I heard last week on NPR that the state was going to plan on building a museum to house the memorabilia and stuff that Phil Collins gave to the state.
Yes.
And that was like one of the stipulations was that the state had to be, it had to be presented in a separate building, not in the Alamo. Is this decision going to change that in any way?
Okay, Steve, welcome. Thanks for that call. And Sarah, you want to take that? Do you know what's
sure,
happening there?
Well,
I'm getting a lot of blank stares.
Sure. The General Land Office in Austin is going to make those ultimate decisions, but I can't imagine that world designation is going to stop that. The Alamo is way too small to house a museum, and it also doesn't have the kind of climate control that is required, so they're going to need some separate building.
Yeah, I would add, I know for certain the city and the state are in collaboration on commencing a master planning process for that area, and it's going to include consideration of a museum. There is a lot of room for better interpretation and public history of that particular aspect of the World Heritage Site, and that's going to come out in this process. And it had better be a process of inclusive planning, or it's not going to work. And I'm sure it will be. I believe that's already planned.
It is sort of a weird fit for the Alamo to be included with the other Spanish missions that we know on the south side, because the Alamo seems so developed and it doesn't have that ambiance, doesn't have the parish there. So Sarah, how does that work?
Well, the thing is Mission San Antonio de Valero, what we now call the Alamo, is in fact the oldest of the missions here in San Antonio. So it often gets forgotten that it is one of the missions because of what happened in 1836. But what happened in 1718...
What happened?
There was some fight.
I can't remember.
Yeah. But in 1718, it was the first of the missions founded in what is now San Antonio, next to San Antonio de Bejar, the Presidio, which is now our city. So it is the foundations of our city. And, you know, the fact that this other story has become the dominant narrative, the story of the Battle of the Alamo, I really think this is a wonderful opportunity to reframe that story and bring back the richness of the history of the Alamo, that the Alamo goes back way before, over 100 years before the Battle of the Alamo, and that there were people living there, that there were soldiers, there were mission friars, there were indigenous people. They created a whole new society of mestizo culture. What I would also just like to say is that nationally, we have less than 1% of the sites on the National Historic Register, which is that's the national way we identify, oh, this is an important site. Less than 1% of sites on the National Historic Register are related to U.S. Latino history. So the fact that the San Antonio missions are the first place in Texas to be recognized as a World Heritage Site, a site of mestizo store, of mestizo history, a site of U.S. Latino history, I think it's really phenomenal, and I hope that this is going to be the first of many new designations for sites related to U.S. Latino history.
William DuPont, so we hear that people are going to be flocking to these sites now. There's going to be a lot more traffic, so there's going to be more demands on these sites, but not necessarily more money for preservation and taking care of these sites. And that's hard.
Well, I think the money for the preservation of the sites will flow, but it's going to flow in proportion to the visitation flow. So it's going to start with, I believe, increased international tourism. Presently, we're already getting over 30 million visitors annually to San Antonio, and that's more than Washington, D.C. gets. And so it's a big number. And with the World Heritage designation, we're going to be able to attract a greater number of international visitors because they target World Heritage sites. And they're going to come to San Antonio to learn about this place and the heritage that we have here.
Last caller, get Eileen on the air. Eileen, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I guess this kind of ties in with what you've been talking about in terms of heritage. I know that at Our Lady of the Lake, Sister Maria Flores has archives, primary sources, and other literature that's out there. And I'm wondering if there'll be a positive effect on those archives or if it will be part of maybe with the Institute of Texan Cultures or the museum.
Okay, Eileen, thanks for that call. I think, they've started a Center for Mexican American Studies at OLLU, and those archives are going to be a big part of that, and they're looking at building those archives. But that brings up an interesting point of having a nexus of a place to study and focus and bring interest. And so, Father David, what do you...
I think there's a number of places
and
now.
A lot of that ties in directly to the church.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because you have those archives.
We have archives at the Archdiocese. Sister Flores has archives at the lake. There's archives also at Bexar County. There's archives at... in the state, in Austin. I mean, you can go on and on. Yeah. So there's no one place that could say we have all the archives of the missions. I don't even know if that's even possible to establish. So I think there will be renewed interest, more intensified interest in studying the life of these missions and the history of these missions. And so hopefully all of these places that do have the archives will make them more available to the appropriate people that need to study them and that would like to study them and advance the knowledge about it.
So there's still more stories to be told.
Many more.
About the missions. And you go out into the neighborhood and you talk to people and they can tell you stories that go back generations. They're still very much alive. That's what makes it so interesting and so exciting. I want to thank Father David Garcia, Archdiocesan Director for the Old Spanish Missions, Sarah Gould at the Institute of Texan Cultures, William DuPont, Professor at UTSA College of Architecture. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about an idea to improve public housing or regular housing, old housing, neighborhoods in San Antonio. This is The Source on KSTX.